What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricane Barbershop. Football talk, man. We back off another victory, W. Victory week. Look at me. I'm sick. A little under weather. But we here to put it together, man. Get y'all guys some product out there, man. Let y'all, feed the streets a little bit. Got my guys with me as usual, man. Got my main man, Turnpike Measy, in the building. Say what's up to the people.
Please hit a turnpike, man. What it do, man? Not going to be on here too long today. We wanted to make sure we drop you all the show, man, before the rankings come out. Today's Monday. Have a quick review of the Virginia Tech game and talk about Pitt, man. With no further ado, we got the Chef Rob in the building. What's happening?
Man, what's happening, man? Excited, ready, a little under the weather, but I'll be all right. Be good.
That shit going around, ain't it?
y'all don't throw that voodoo over here, shit.
Man,
I'm going to eat Thursday,
bro. The season changing, bro. That's all for me.
It's that's what I think it is. Me too. Yeah, I think that's all it is—just seasonal allergies.
Yeah,
mine get pretty bad. They make you feel like you're sick because your body bank is fighting off something. So either way, you going through it. But, Maul here with us today too.
What's good, y'all?
Hey, you know what it is, man. I think Maul gonna be kind of in and out with us, but
I'll be in and out.
X is tied up, but like I say, holidays coming up, man. So we want to go ahead and get it out, man. So without any further ado, let's talk about this Virginia Tech game. Canes got on the road, went out of town. You know, beautiful place out there, Blacksburg. Let them boys put on brick jerseys. I don't know why he was acting like it's so brand new. I was like, they didn't wear them before or something just like them before. But they brought the bricks out, got the bricks beat off them. I guess overall thoughts in general, I think it was one of the starts that, we've been wanting for a while. I think he hit like a little low, but it still wasn't like just a complete fall off of like the offense being able to produce at all. Just a little bit of slowing down on the scoring. But like, as I rewatched the game earlier today, I'm like, there was never a point in time where Miami didn't have absolute complete control of that game. A little bit of lapse, I think, in the run game defense, which is like a little bit to be expected considering some of the style they try to run out there. It's more like a triple option type attack. They kept mentioning that because basically the O-line sucks. So they don't have time to set up a lot of stuff like they want to for the passing game. A little dude, Aiden Green, got off a couple of little nice catches out there, though. Shout out to him. Number 0.
Yeah, white boy didn't look bad. I don't know if he white, but yeah, he didn't look too bad.
I think he mixed. I said the same thing, too, when I first seen him. His picture, like his little school picture, he looked like a white dude. And yeah, like earrings and right, but then when they showed him on the sideline with the helmet off, I was like, I don't know. I was like, maybe bro mix. I ain't sure. That's funny. You thought the same shit. I was like, damn, this little 8-degree white boy.
Like, right. Right. I was like, come on now, D. Shit.
Yeah. What's going on? Quit underestimating him. But yeah, I mean, that's just my overall thoughts. I thought it good enough win. I mean, we get criticized for tagging on the 7 at the end. I'm like, well, that's because the goofy shit y'all want to do. Like, this is the goofy games we got to play in order to, get the right kind of wins and, make all this stuff, more impressive, as if the resume already ain't impressive enough. So, anyway, that's just kind of my overall thoughts. What's your thoughts, man?
I thought we handled business. I know everybody didn't like how, the end of the game went. But in my opinion, man, teams do that. Top teams do that every week, but it only look different because it happened to us. That's how that shit go. Yep. That's my final answer.
You go under a microscope. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
They don't look at the same stuff. Like when you know, Boston College was able to hold Notre Dame to like, you know, 28. I think it was like 28-9 or something like that. And that game was low scoring for a while. They'll skip over that. And you should, because they still got a W. But it's like when it's our turn, it always comes down to all this extra scrutiny.
And it's style points now.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I ain't heard that name. I ain't heard style points all season until Saturday.
Hey, it's gonna always be that way. Kane's thing, baby. It's gonna always got to be a little bit more, you know. And I think that's why us fans, you know, got a little mad at the team, because like we know that this the shit they gonna try to pull. You know, even though SMU is now ranked, Louisville was ranked shortly after that victory with us. SMU is probably going to finish the season, 9-3. Looks like based on their last, I think they got Cal. So you're not even talking about bad teams, but it's all about how they want to spin the perspective when it comes to us. Anyway, D-Rob, kind of what's your overwhelming thoughts of the game, man?
I was impressed. The only thing, like I said, that was kind of, it wasn't concerning, but we should tighten up was like the Virginia Tech's running game. But like Heatherman said today in his press conference, he was like some of the stuff that they did in the game, he said they didn't show us on film. So he's like, I had to adjust like as the game was going, which I kind of knew because I watched Virginia Tech previous games and they was letting like drones kind of like sling the ball around a little bit. But then it's like you play against us and it's like they turn into a straight option team. Like everything was jet sweeps and zones and you know what I'm saying? Like that's just what they did.
Smart football, because they know they O-line.
Yeah.
They can't hold up against our pass rush. But go ahead.
Yep. It was a lot of egregious calls. Like this is the one game where I say we shouldn't have, I'm glad we didn't play with our food because the refs would have had a hand in us losing that game. Mm-hmm. But they did, like, oh boy, it was some egregious calls. Like it bro, it's oh man, it's
that face mask was out.
Like we, bro, on every fourth down they got, we stopped them.
The little face mask where he had his shoulder, and then when he spun as the player was spinning, it did graze the very corner. His pinky grazed the corner of the mask, but he did not tackle him by the mask or even pull his mask. He never even pulled it; it touched it.
Correct.
Yeah, that was a fourth down play. That was Bobby Pruitt, I want to say. Ended up getting flagged on that one. And that was a play that turned to a first down for them. That should have been a turnover on downs.
Yeah, I think we stopped them like on every fourth down that they kind of went for, but it was something. Then I'm telling you what really got me is when they went for the fourth down, we stopped them, but then they said it was a timeout, and then they ran another play. Oh no! I think they ran another play, and then they went and looked at the they missed it again, and then they challenged the play as far as the catch, which it wasn't a catch. Like right. He dropped it. Like we thought he dropped it, and they still didn't overturn it. So it's like, bro,
even the TV referee said that he's like, yeah, that was a drop. Like I don't see how they did that.
Yeah, like how did y'all not overturn that to a drop? It's our ball because that would have been fourth down. Like, bro, it was so much. I was like more frustrated than anything when it came to that. I was like, yo, these refs is really trying to play with us. But you see what got to happen, man. You see what we got to do. And I think the staff and everybody else is realizing that, yeah, man, like when we go out here, we cannot play. Like we went out there, we went down there, we scored. Yeah, I was very happy with that. You know what I'm saying? Like we started fast, which I said, like, don't start slow. We started fast. We stopped them. We did our thing. Granted, yeah, they kind of came back at the end a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But at no point was I ever really concerned that we were going
to
lose that game. I just wanted to get a W. I don't care if next week we win 9-6. I just want a W, man. Just finish the season off strong and let everything fall into place. Because 4 weeks ago, we didn't think we was going to be in the position we in now. Most of us probably had, hey, man, it's probably going to be Georgia Tech and Virginia in the damn ACC title game. Nah, they done came up with, like, 8 scenarios. and what, 4 of them contain us. And we need 2 of the 4 things to happen.
Well, you know, the thing in saying that is out there saying, man, them boys ain't just finna win out. Like, I wasn't worried about that. I just, you know, how the scenarios will have to play out, that's where it gets tricky. Because I think basically now we need like two or three things to happen, right? Like, I think we need Virginia to lose. Who's Wake Forest playing?
Wake Forest plays Duke. There's a bunch of different combinations. Just between Virginia, Duke, and SMU, we need two of them to lose. And there's one.
And we got to win.
Yeah, there's so many different combinations. But what I always told people was, and I remember I posted in the group chat, I was like, it's a little different when you're supposed to win. And I said, when Louisville and Virginia, now they got this expectations and bright lights. It's not easy. It's easy to win a noon game.
Yeah, come in and upset some shit.
No expectations. But when you're expected to win, that's why, like, we still got a chance. We just got to keep winning.
Right.
And that's all we do. I think if we win, we're going to get in somehow. There's too much money for Miami not to get in. But in terms of the VTech game, these refs, man, the ACC, like, this same crew from Louisville, the same crew from SMU game that we got the bad calls. And now it's this again. It's like any other conference. They big teams get the benefit. That dude from, what was it, Georgia fumble at the goal line, was it? Nope, touchdown. Right? SEC, they do what they got to do. I ain't saying need a 50-50 for us, but can we get the 50-50 call? Why we always, like, the SEC always goes against their best interest. That's what I hate about the conference. Like, why would y'all want Miami to lose? Yeah, the ACC goes against his best interest.
Right. Need to be propping us up. And now they're doing it via social media. I give them that. They all on the, you know, Miami deserve to be in trade.
They do the shit when it's damn near too late, though.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It should have been a campaign from the giddy up. And you know, like Utah, right? They got one ranked win, and the other ranked team they played, they got destroyed, right? But they got somebody on the inside on that committee. They got somebody that's propping up their you know, their resume, their roster, their conference. So, you know, it's just like everything else. It's going to have its bias. But like me and you was just saying right before the show too, you know, looking ahead to the game coming up, if we have a business as I expect us to do, I think Pitt's a pretty good team. We'll get into it a little bit later on. I anticipate we win that game. That's four ranked wins. That's a hell of a resume to tell the team, yeah, but y'all can't come in. Like, that's crazy. But it's a possibility. I don't think that's exactly how it'll go, but you know, it's a possibility that could happen. And that just lets you know, like, this is why I'm from the giddy up. I tell people, and I ain't really getting too geeked about this whole playoff shit, because no matter what, we can expand it, this, that, and the other, it's still going to come down to politics and narratives. And it's not like they have just like this hardcore, like, that was kind of the thing about the BCS that I didn't mind. It was just a computer program, right? They just spit it out. It sucked at times, but this is all opinion based. And I'm like, they still getting shit wrong. So, you know, it's a way to lose no matter what. It just depends on how they feeling that day. You know, how they want to play the ACC, which, you know, I ain't getting into that shit again, but ACC get played to the left all the time. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, dominant performance really from the giddy up. I'll run through kind of the play-by-play. We did well scoring as far as, you know, possessions, you know, making the most out of every possession and you know, turning it into points. Stalled a couple of times in general, but for the most part, like I said, it was never nothing felt like, uh-oh, you know, like Joey Galloway tried to play us. What a bitch, nigga.
Man, he's such a sucker, Ohio dog. State
niggas, man. I can't stand him, Ohio
he's
State.
He's such
niggas,
a sucker, man. Dog. That man's such a sucker, dog.
Bro, he was saying some wild-ass shit, and like he had paused when somebody asked him. I was like, nigga, you reaching for shit, bro.
Who the other Ohio State nigga I can't stand?
Cardale Jones. Is it Cardale Jones?
Nigga. Yeah, Cardale Jones.
Can't stand that.
BB gun ass nigga.
Sorry.
I said it. Hey, you sorry as shit. You like you wasn't great then. You just throw the ball deep. And oh, Malik Zaire. Jesus, shut the fuck.
Oh, yeah, Malik Zaire.
I know he know today, kind of. And nigga,
he got stats that belt. Look like he got a two game set. Didn't he?
Bro. Him in there? He got the what?
He got, we gave him that belt. Wasn't he playing in that game? We blew him out at home.
Might be. He trash, bro. His whole career. I'm like, I don't be want to talk shit about niggas, but shut the fuck up. You just ain't that guy. You just ain't the one, man. Be talking all this goddamn, all this yaggity yak. I looked up his career stats. I was like, wait, this is the whole career? And I remember, the way I remember him the most was this was the first man I remember doing a grad transfer graphic. I remember him putting out a grad transfer graphic. And I was like, nigga, you're 24. Get your old ass over there in Florida, went over there and didn't make the field over there either. So he got hurt, but nonetheless. Anyway, I just had to get that out of my chest real quick. Rarely do I give time for this shit, but I had just a minute. So real quick, we get the ball first. Couple of runs, couple of four-yard run, three-yard run, seven-yard pass down to Keelan Marion. Shout out Keelan Marion, man. Been super
consistent.
Super consistent, yeah. Just been – I mean, and he's catching like last game. I think last week he was 6 for 6 on his targets, targets and receptions. I believe this week he might have been 5 for 5. I have to double check that. But he's every time you go to him, you know, he's getting open, he's making the most of it, and he catches a lot of first downs. Another pass to Elijah Lofton, try to get him a little involved too. He was actually the first run of the game, I forgot to mention. A four-yard run, we use the start. So I can see maybe he's feeling a little better, you know, because Lofton was a guy that, you know, X had for over 1,000 yards this year. But he wasn't the only one. A lot of people that had access were saying, like, you know, they expected a lot out of Lofton. And I think two things happened. I think he'd been a little banged up. And then the emergence of Malachi Toney and him kind of being more that gadget guy versus Lofton, especially with, you know, them cutting loose towards, you know, as Mario was saying, like, they want a team to cut loose. They got to cut loose. And they've been letting Malachi toss the rock around a little bit, too. So, after that, we had a little quick two-yard pass. The loft, like I said, nine-yard run from Pringle. He was our leading carrier for this day. Another good day for him. After that, Beck, 32-yard pass to Keelan Marion again. Three-yard run by Pringle. Caught a penalty on the false start from McCoy. McCoy been kind of like our – he like the last guy that keep getting these damn penalties, these pre-snap penalties. It's been McCoy, like he like the last culprit. I'm like, damn it, boy. Everybody else tightening up, man. Get shit together. Little 5-yard penalty there. And then 20-yard pass. That was the one through the middle to Lofton for the touchdown. You know, good first opening drive, smooth, walk down the field, just the way you want to start the game. Kind of to echo D-Rob's sentiments of just like not playing with your fool. Go ahead out there and let's get it going, get it rolling. Strike some fear in these guys. You know, they got a lot to play for in the sense that, you know, people was like, oh, James Franklin there, they're going to be – you know, geeked up, which I'm sure there were some guys because they got a new coach they got to audition for. So I'm sure there were some that were – it's two ways to look at it, right? Like either they trying to impress this coach or they trying to impress their next coach.
Yeah, ain't so, no point in impressing this one because they ain't going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, it just depends. I don't know. It depends. I mean, when I say this coach, I mean Franklin.
He's there watching.
I'm saying you may be trying to – hey, coach, this is what I could do. You know, this is how you can use me. Or, like, shit, I know I ain't going to be here next year, so let me see if I can get some film out to show, you know, guys in the transfer portal. Next possession for them, they were able to move the ball a little bit. Like I said, a little trickery, 33-yard reverse, you know, to get it started early. That was a big chunk play for them. And they was able to complete a 14-yard pass down the field, 4-yard run, 7-yard run. The defense buckled up. The huge run set them up pretty good. And then they was able to get a field goal off of that possession. Next possession for us, Salazar started off with a pass to Tony for a little quick 5-yarder, 4-yard run by Pringle, 6-yard pass from back to Tony again, 22-yard pass to Tony again, quick 4-yard run from Pringle. Got stuffed with Malachi on the next play. 3-yard run from Fletcher. 11-yard pass from back to Tony again. Another little 3-yard run from, I think that was a scramble. Yeah, 3-yard run scramble by Beck. And back to Tony again. Fletcher for a little 3-yarder. Gets stuffed again. It went backwards on me. My bad. 22-yard pass, 6-yard pass. Scramble for Beck. Picked up 3.
And he pretty good Beck, at when he scrambled. Like he get like a little 4 or 5 yards.
I thought they cut him short on that play too. I know it said with a slide start, but I thought the football was that.
Definitely cut him short.
See, like a little early on that one, but yeah, then on the next one, he did like a little option. He kept it, ran for 6 yards. That ended the first quarter. We down obviously in red zone scoring territory at this point. 3-yard run for Fletcher, 2-yard pass to Tony, another 3-yard run for Fletcher again. And you know, now we down to the 3. Sent Fletcher out on a little. Like a little wheel route, not even a wheel route, right? He really pretty much ran out to the flats. Caught that for his first career passing touchdown. I was shocked to hear that. That was his first career actual passing touchdown. Next possession for Virginia Tech. They was able to make a little noise. 8 plays, 53 yards. Held the ball for about 4 minutes. They weren't able to come up with any points, though. They had to punt it off to us. I'll kind of skip through this a little bit. The next possession for us, 10 plays, 50 yards. Had the ball for about 4:42. That one ended in a field goal. Good red zone stand for them. They were caught a penalty towards the end of that one, too. Pushed it back a little bit. It was real windy out there, too. So in the second half, we had the wind to our back. So they were still trying to kick with the wind. And then, you know, it was getting flipped back and forth. So I think they tried to take advantage of going ahead and kicking those field goals if you had to take them while the wind was out our back. Next possession for them, short one, 8 plays, 17 yards. They ended up pointing to us. We get another, clock running down, not a lot of time left. 5 plays, 58 yards. Ended up getting another field goal there. Going into half, 20-3. I mean, like we all said, the game to me really felt over right there. I didn't think they was going to be able to put anything together from that point on to get really scary. But they took the first possession, they did punch it in. So scoreboard, it got a little bit, I guess you could say a little bit spooky. I still wasn't never too worried about it, but good drive by them, 8-yard run. Then they got a penalty from Justin Scott jumping off sides again. Another little thing we keep seeing with guys over the football and getting tricked a little bit with some of these some of these claps and stuff like that, and being a little over anxious, jumping, just something to clean up. Penalties in general have been a hell of a lot better, but just something else to look out for. They get stuffed on the next one after that. 4-yard pass, 5-yard pass. This was the 15-yard penalty that set up the run. That was the Bobby Pruitt face mask where we had got to stop that would have made it, fourth and one, which they probably go for it, but calling that ended up giving them the first. And then from there, man, good run from the freshman kid, Jeffrey Overton Jr., 38-yard run. He just found a little seam, good blocking up front for those guys, found a little seam, hit the outside, and we just wasn't in position to get back in and pursue and close down that play. But we responded right back, 11 plays, 75-yard drive, touchdown. With a lot of Tony on that one. He snapped ball, I think it was a Wildcat there, ran for 7. Then we went back to Pringle for a little 2-yarder, Fletcher for 3. 7-yard pass, complete to Fletcher. 3-yard pass on over to Keelan Marion. 17-yard pass to Tony. Another quick little 3-yarder to Tony again. Got stuffed after that. Hit Upshaw. Upshaw got another opportunity. That's another thing, man. These freshmen, they showing some, showing some promise there. Upshaw making the most of his opportunity. He ain't been getting a lot of them, with Tony Johnson out and Keelan Marion, who did play a little bit. I don't know if y'all noticed. I think he only played 2 snaps, but he did get on the field a little bit. I think it was just, again, one of those situations where we just didn't need him.
CJ Daniels?
Yeah. Yeah, he played 2 snaps, Just didn't need him this week, so I think they just letting him rest up again for next week. But yeah, pass to Upshaw. Two-yard loss on the next run, and then that was the wheel route out to Pringle for 16 yards to score the touchdown. And I think Carter Davis missed the extra point there.
No,
he didn't. That made it. Oh, the extra point missed it. Maybe they got. Oh, they got it wrong on here. I see. They got it as 26, even though it was 27. They just got the wrong thing on the stat sheet here. After that, punt from those guys. Quick turnaround. Punt from us right back to them. Turnover on downs for them. We ended up punting. So it got a little stale right towards the end of the third or fourth, but the defense was kind of buckling down more too. They were able to put together a nice drive, 8 plays, 92 yards, and got it to 27-17. They got the ball onside kick, and they ended up moving a little bit, but ended up fumbling, and that pretty much it wrapped it up for them. We ended up taking, putting that little play together. Everybody like you still got the starters in, 7 plays, 40 yards, hit Malachi, in his own, game over, and I don't like it. But I don't like that they feel pressed to do that type of stuff, too, just because, it ain't enough points. When if you're watching the game, it just didn't feel like that, like you had to worry about points. But, probably my biggest, criticism was, trying to bottle up the run game, but I understood because they were just throwing a lot of different wrinkles out there. But I thought, again, it was like a good showing. Carson Beck only threw 1 pass, and I was like, what the hell are you doing? Should have been an interception. Guy just dropped it.
Yeah.
I don't know how he dropped that one. But, all in all, though, I thought really balanced in our attack as far as mixing in the personnel a lot. Still using Tony in several different ways. Out the shotgun, Wildcat, the reverses. The reverse passes, just getting creative because people keying in on him. But, he's making it that much trickier, which is, again, is what we was asking for. Just open it up a little bit more. Open it up a little bit more. Keep people on their toes. Like, how bad it is for these defenses now to really have to worry about Malachi Toney throwing that ball and knowing, right, like, bro, he can hit it.
It freezes everybody.
Right. You don't know what to do. This kid actually places the ball pretty well. You know, he ain't got the biggest arm, but he can put it where it need to go.
My homeboy, he a Gator fan. He texted me during the game. He was like, man, hell nah. He threw that too easily. He need to play quarterback.
Now my old lady said too. So why would we put Malachi at quarterback? I'm like, easy, easy. But I will say this. He did throw it off that weird platform on that one he hit down the field. He was trying to take the deep shot, and it looked covered up. And then, like, the linebacker was coming out the edge, so it got in his lane a little bit. I said, look at that boy with his little – he got his little Cam Ward on. He got that little side on and threw a little dart, man. So, easily probably the funnest player to watch this year, I think, in college football, period. Like – you know, besides being a Canes fan, he just doing his thing out there, man. It's just been fun. And, you know, that's why I said I used the 26 account and just tweet out, like, we can't let the people rob us of our joy, man. Like, no matter how this go, it's real deal change going on in Miami. And
Everybody know it.
That's just the truth. Last year, you know, I don't even think the conversation was as valid. Like, even with the same record coming in, I didn't think it was as valid. But this year, I'm like, we definitely validly in this conversation. You know, we got the top two DNs in the nation as far as, you know, some people are concerned for the draft this year, which, again, this goes to speak to where we come from. You really want to know where your team at. You got to really look at that draft and see what kind of talent is being plucked from that team once these guys are done. And you know what we had last year drafted about what 10, I believe,
8 or 9, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Over there, and I think we'll be right back in that ballpark, maybe a little north of that, maybe hit that 10. And that goes to show you the roster turnover, the big difference that's coming out. And again, you're probably looking at 2 first rounders, hell, maybe 3, depending on how people value Mezendorf. Because, like I said, Kiper got him number 2. So I don't know if other people got him quite as high, but he could be another guy. I mean, you know, the NFL always on 2 things, premium pass rush and quarterbacks. So I don't think, you know, if that's the general consensus, he slips out of the first round. But, you know, either way, it just goes to show you what the things that have happened under Mario Cristobal's regime. And so salute to him for making his demands and seeing that they get met.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead, bro.
Oh, my bad. So it's just been a night and day switch just in terms of, like I said, just setting a floor for this program. And I think 9 wins is going to essentially be the floor of most years. We can get it to 10. And then once you get to 10, you know, you should be in contention as long as you win the right games. So and we haven't done that for 2 years, man. People are acting like, I'll be disappointed with 10-2. I'm like, what are y'all talking about?
Hey, Mom. Them people got muted long time ago, bro. Not listening to none of them folks, bro. Like, 10-2 is still a very good season. It's a great season. Back-to-back 10-win season. First time since, what, 2003, 2004. Got a chance again to win 11 games, which hasn't happened since, what, 2001. Like, I stopped listening to them type of fans, right? Because, as you can see, the timeline is clear of all negativity. Like, you don't hear nothing. We won the game, and niggas ain't really even said shit. Like, this is, like, bro, this is the craziest fucking fan base I think ever. Excuse my language, but, like, it's nuts. Like, niggas ain't celebrating how they should. It's like, yo, we got a chance and all this, and niggas like, oh, man, come the fuck on, bro. We gonna win 10 games. One of the biggest narratives, Mario can't win in November. He'll be 4-1 in November if you want to count the first loss, because the first loss was actually November 1st. That was you can say that was the end of October. If I mean, you can, right, but he'll be undefeated. Right. So it's like you 4-1 to end the season. Well, 4 straight games to win to close the season. 4-1 in November. I mean, I think that's a step in the right direction.
Man, I told my homeboy,
in the right direction.
We about to lose only four games the last 2 years, and they trying to keep us out of the playoffs, both of them. That's crazy work right there, bro.
But see, last year, that's why I was kind of hitting that a little bit. Last year, I see when we failed the eyeball test because of the defense. So I was like, I get that. I actually understand that. You know, me and Measy was easily the hardest on this damn defense. And I knew we was going to lose games because of shit like that. I was like, yo, these motherfuckers, this defense is atrocious. But this year, even if you want to count our losses, it still didn't fail the eyeball test all in all. Look at Louisville, right? Awful game by a quarterback. We lost by four, right? Absolutely abysmal game. Fluke game, lose by four. Cool. SMU game. It was some miscues by the QB in that game, but we still were in that game. This is a pretty damn good team. They lead the nation in turnovers. And we had our shots to win that game. And let's be frank, we got robbed by referees. I just got to tell the truth. I'm not that referee guy. But there was, like, some very egregious game-changing bad calls in that SMU game.
That strips that. Call it out.
Right. That one, the roughing, the picking up, oh my God, the worst pass interference, like a clear grab, snatch, pull, picking that flag up and not throwing the one at the end of the game where, you know, we're supposed to go to JoJo and he got dragged to the ground well before the ball's released. These are all things that change that actual game, right? And that is what it is. But if you're watching games, and not just pushing narratives, and you're actually a fan of this game, you can be honest about all of that stuff.
But that's the problem, bro. It's like narratives are just being pushed. It's like this committee, they're picking the 12 teams they want, and then they try to engineer backwards of why these are the 12 teams we're picking. And it's like, you can't do that. Like, that's not how it's supposed to work. Like, right. That's crazy to me.
Remember, they said they wanted the 12 best. And then we're still doing this dumb shit, you know, with the G5 program. No, Boise earned it. Boise played a great year, played Oregon down to the wire, you know, was dominant and got ranked high. Now, do I think they'll overrank the general? Sure, but they got it. They were ranked high throughout the whole damn year. If the best team is Tulane and they number 22, no, you don't get in. You don't get in. You got to earn your way in, you know?
See, this is what is going to be the problem, and this is why that 24 team one is being talked about. And the problem is now teams have to spend money. Back in the day, you could penny pinch your program. Now, RevShare is forcing all these schools to pay $20 million. You got boosters putting all this money in the NIL, and if I was a Miami booster, I make back-and-back 10-2s, and I don't make the playoffs either year. Like, I have a problem with the format. And that's what they're going to have to change. Like, I ain't saying we need 24 teams, but the way they're doing this 12-team shit, it's a problem because people need to know what the access is. And that's the issue because too much money is being spent. There's too much money being invested in this for it to just be, well, these are the teams we want.
Hey, you know, you make a good point, too, when you just speak on money in general, right? You add money and playoff anything is going to get more money. It's like, I don't watch hockey, right? Like, year round like that. Like, I've watched the Panthers every once in a while. I claim them as my team on some bandwagon shit, but I don't watch them all the time. But playoff hockey, oh, I'm all over it. I just watch it. The intensity turns it up. So I think they want to lean into that anyways, right? Baseball, whatever, these other sports. World Cup. I don't watch soccer, but when World Cup come around, oh, I'm all on it. Why? The intensity, the stakes are high. So I think they like having this controversy too because, yeah, let's raise it to 24 and get even more money because it's going to raise more money for more playoff games, period. It's going to always be more exciting with the playoffs in place. But we'll see how it goes. We just got to take care of business. I think we got an opportunity, you know, to play for the ACC. That'd be cool. If we get a chance to do that, I feel, you know, we had a lot of business against Pitt this week coming up, which we're about to talk about now. And we can somehow get into the ACC championship game. I feel very confident that we win the ACC championship game. We're playing good football right now.
Hey, get 87 off my fucking field, man.
Bomber.
Man, get off my fucking field, dog. Dropping two.
Man, like God, come. Oh.
But you know what pissed me? Nah, you know what pissed me? I'm going to tell you what pissed me off with him. Because his ass was in the spring in that press conference. They asked him after that practice, oh, what's the difference between, you know, going from Tulane to, he was like, oh, it's not much of a difference. I still, you know, everything's still good and this and this and this and playing it down. So I'm like, okay, he'll go ahead and do his thing. He's not like a deer in the headlights where it's like, oh, shoot, step up in competition. I ain't going to be able to produce. Man, please. Man, that man been folding under pressure, bro. Been folding like crazy, dog.
In the Rocket Cubs, man. He been taking some shots. But I always expect my tight end to come out that football angle.
Yeah. Arroyo's not dropping that. Mallory's not dropping that. Brevin Jordan is not dropping that. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, you gotta reel those in, man.
I'm gonna tell you.
Supposed to be the most sure hands on your team, dog. That's supposed to be the one guy.
Cam McCormick
gotta eat a catch. It's got to be your tight end.
Yeah, Cam McCormick ain't dropping that.
Thanks.
And his old ass had a pitching plan. Like, come on, man.
Right, real shit. Agreed. All right. Well, let's look ahead to the Pitt game a little bit. Pitt, you know, this is a team that could be thorn in our side over the years, a team we constantly play, you know, in that cold weather up there. But we went up there and won before. I believe they are currently ranked. Let me double check before I get the line. I know they're in the 20s.
Can't I think they're 24. One behind Georgia Tech, ironically. You know, they just beat them.
They know Georgia Tech about to lose again, so they about to get bounced out. Cause Georgia gonna beat them boys so bad, they gonna be up out of there. So that's what that whole play is. They finna.
I'm just hoping that
Georgia Tech gonna take care of itself as far as rankings go.
I'm hoping that Pitt battery can be empty because they just gonna play Notre Dame and Georgia Tech back to back weeks.
Okay. Well, I thought I looked down the AP 25 and they were ranked. Now I'm looking at it on Bleacher Report, and they just got us at number 13, got them at nothing. Let me double check that. I want to make sure I ain't lying. But I could have swore I saw that these guys.
What I think, whatever you're looking at, might be factoring the old college playoff rankings, maybe. I'm going to go to the AP on the website.
The AP, okay.
But then go to AP 25.
Actually, right? I got it right here. So, yeah. Oh no, this basketball. I'm like Indiana.
Yeah, Georgia Tech's 23, Pitt 24, SMU's 25.
So okay, in the AP. Okay. All right. So yeah, Bleacher Report must be they using the other one. They against us. Trying to get their hate on properly. So again, it's an opportunity, man, to get another ranked win. We'll be on the road again. Road win, it'll be a cold weather environment. And Pitt, you know, Pitt's Pitt under Narduzzi. He usually has his tenets of what kind of team you usually going to play with them. Usually looking at a pretty solid O-line, a D-line that's usually got at least one or two NFL guys on it. They taking a step up, I think, in you know, recent years with their linebackers. That's probably the most dangerous part of their team right now is their linebacker core. You know, obviously they've had, you know, some good guys in the secondary. So look at some of the key players just in general. Let me give you the offensive and defensive rankings real quick too. So you got they are ranked 12th nationally in scoring offense at 37.6 points per game. So it's a team that definitely could get some points up there. And defensively, they are like damn near dead smack in the middle at 62nd, allowing 23.7 points per game. So not stingiest defense when it comes to giving up points, but not necessarily a lead either. They ended up going with the freshman quarterback this year. The original guy went down, correct?
Eli Holtzman, I think he got hurt and then he could have came back, but then they just rolled with the freshman.
Okay. All right. That's what I thought it was. Yeah, Mason Hitchell. You know, he's been, like, to me, a little up and down. You see some of the better parts of him. When they play Notre Dame, and I think this is something that we can replicate because I just saw a graphic with the pass rush, and Notre Dame is number one and we're number two as far as pass rush pressures. So, you know, you get him uncomfortable, and he looks like a freshman for sure. He starts making some bad throws, putting up just stuff that he should, you know, either just tuck and take the sack or try to get it out to the sidelines. But, you know, watching that game, because, you know, I was hate watching that game for sure, hoping Pitt could pull something off. And I ain't gonna lie, man, Notre Dame was destroying that O-line. That kid didn't stand a chance out there. So I really think we could replicate a lot of that against them. And I know they, you know, he's got plenty of experience, but I don't know how far they want to get in their bag with this freshman out there, especially with the ability of us to create some pass rush up front. But I've seen some good and bad from him. He's a respectable quarterback. He can do some things under the right circumstances, but I do think he needs that time to sit back there and kind of cut it up and do what he want to do. The running back, Jakarian Turner, freshman, he kind of opened up, blew up on the scene against Georgia Tech. They haven't been able to rush the ball particularly well this year. It's been more or less the passing game that's been able to keep them afloat this season, which is a little uncharacteristic of them.
We got to see if Desmond Reed going to play, because that's their guy on offense. Because he went off against Florida State.
Reed is the other running back.
Mm-hmm. He's their main guy. Like he gets mixed up a lot. So
I'm talking about Desmond Reed.
Yeah. He didn't play against Georgia Tech, and then I guess he got nicked up against Notre Dame. But I remember that Florida State game, boy. I mean, not that, you know, it's Florida State, but you know, that's the guy.
To play that game.
But I'm pretty sure he's going to magically play. You know, everybody get that Miami bump. They take that Mario mushroom before the game, and then they power up and ready for us.
Have a show dialogue like that with Mario mushroom. Mario mushroom. Kenny Johnson is the leader receiver. He's got a little over 600 yards, I want to say. It's kind of the same thing like where we're saving C.J. Daniels for this game. I wouldn't be surprised if they're saving, you know, their best running back to get back in this game too. It's always been a bit of their bread and butter to have, a top tier running game. So, what you about to say, D-Rob?
A couple things, right? So, I had to look up his stats. I think they're gonna roll with Turner because just look at his stats on the year. Nothing is impressive.
Stand out, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's 60 carries for 278 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Right. Turner leading them, right, with 414.
Yeah, Turner's the leader. So I think that they're going to roll with him. I think they're going to roll with him because he has the hot hand right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, so just go with him. So if Reed comes back, I mean, yeah, he can catch out the backfield. He can do little things because we saw what he did against Florida State. He had 8 catches for 155 yards and 2 touchdowns. Even against Notre Dame, he had 6 catches for 63 yards. So he's the receiving threat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he's going to do. What I also was going to say is about the thing where you say about getting pressure on here. Heichel has been sacked 26 times. That's third in the conference. Only behind Cal's quarterback and Stanford's quarterback. Right? So we can get to him. We can make some things happen because even against Georgia Tech, he got sacked 6 times.
Which is kind of crazy. He hasn't started the whole year. Holtzman's got like 120 pass attempts. He's got like 250. So he's got some high numbers and like probably what, 8 starts would be my guess?
Yeah.
7 or 8 starts.
Yeah. So yeah, he's only played, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, 8 starts. He only has 8 starts and, well, no, actually 7 starts because
he replaced Eli for one of the games.
Yeah,
one game,
yeah. He replaced him in one game, but he had 7 starts and he's been sacked 26 times. The only game where he did not get sacked was against NC State. That he didn't get sacked that game, but we all know they're terrible. But against Syracuse, got sacked 7 times, Florida State 5 times, Georgia Tech 6 times, Notre Dame 4. Like, we can get to him. We can make some noise. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just want us, because Pitt is a very well-coached team. You know, I will say that Barton Narduzzi, his teams are very well-coached. You know what I'm saying? So I got confidence we'll get in there and do it. We'll do the thing. And we owe them anyway. Granted, we've in the last 10, we won. We're 7-3 in the last 10 games. But we owe them, because the last memory that I have is when Mario's first year, we were 5-6, and we were going, trying to at least get bowl eligible, and they ran us out of that stadium. They beat us like 42-something in at Hard Rock. So that get back a motherfucker. We need to get
back. Oh, man. Oh.
And yeah, I made this quick point about Pitt. My bad. Yeah. I made this quick point about Pitt. To me, like, this used to be Virginia Tech to me in the ACC, but to me, it's Pitt. Like, they're like par, right? Like, if you play golf, like, if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll win. But you mess around, Pitt going to capitalize on any mistake you make, because, like y'all said, they well coached. They're going to, you know, they're not going to beat themselves. So it's like, we just got to do what we're supposed to do, because they consistent.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, linebackers, Lovelace, Kyle Lewis, Rasheem Biles, you know, these guys, you know, flying around. You know, and I don't know, like, it's a little dip in what they typically have at D-line, but it's still not it's not a fall off, you know, off the cliff where it's just nothing to worry about. And, you know, we also know that every once in a while, although he's been looking really good last few games, every once in a while, Beck get the tendency to, like, hold the rock a little long and then leave himself susceptible. So, you know, he's got to make sure that he's out there making quick decisions and you know, continue to play loose. You know, I think that's been serving us well over these wins. Like, I think everybody relaxed some and was like, look, we good, we're talented. All we got to do is play our brand of football, and we really go out here and make a statement and win some games and really, truly go back to the 1-0 mentality. But with less tightness about it. Just go be free. Go be free, play some football. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously them having home fields going to obviously play. You know, they kind of like us. They you know, their fans, they're in a major city. Their fans don't show up for all their games. This is a early kickoff, too. This is a noon kickoff?
Noon, yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah, so noon kickoff, you know, they're going to show up, and they're going to be the best numbers for them this year because it's Miami.
Well, outside of probably Notre Dame game, they had.
Yeah. Notre Dame. Oh, yeah, Notre Dame, they were packed out. But that's probably because literally that would probably have Notre Dame, too, though. Because you're in that area. In Pittsburgh, I know, like, Penn State, Notre Dame, and then Pitt somewhere down, you know, third. So, I guarantee you that had a lot to do with that place being sold out. But, yeah, we'll come second to that. And it'll be a lot more of their fans will be showing up for that game just because everybody showed up in Miami. You know, we saw with SMU, you know, that again, major city. And that's why I would say you got to compare us to other major cities. You can't compare us to these podunk-ass towns. SMU playing Dallas. They have a smaller stadium than us. They don't always sell out. And they're playing great football, you know, over the last, especially for what they come from. It's been a long time since the Pony Express. And Rhett got them boys playing respectable football, you know, competing for the ACC. You know, these guys, it's like real deal. Like, hey, you got to watch out for SMU football.
Yeah, they're invested in football, man. Like, they're spending money. It's another school spending money, man. So I was going to ask y'all in terms of, like, let's just say we beat Pitt, which we're supposed to do. Who do you see us playing? Who do y'all want to play maybe in the ACC Championship game? Like, what would be your ideal matchup?
SMU.
I would love it.
You want that look back?
I need that look back.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'd like to
– Boy, we're talking –
I'd like to beat them real bad, too.
Rhett Lashley talking greasy, retweeting stuff with about Manny Diaz and goddamn Romello Brunson and all these former Ryan Rangoni. They all talking greasy. Yeah, but I need that get back. Because I'm going to be honest with you, anybody, Virginia, I got it. Either SMU or Georgia Tech, them the only two teams I really want to like. Well, actually, Duke, I really want to beat the brakes off them. But I really like SMU and Georgia Tech are the really two teams. But give me SMU, man.
Oh, we beat them last year. Give me SMU. I'm not giving Duke no more energy.
Man, damn, you know how happy I'd be if it was Duke.
I think if it's SMU, I ain't gonna lie. If we play the SMU again, I think it'll be a blowout this time. Honestly, I think it'll be a blowout.
It'd be a statement game.
Too much to lose on that one. And I think they know they got robbed by the refs too. You know, that's why you heard it from their fans and the coaches too. Trying to act like they don't know we got robbed by the refs on that game. Like, come on. Stop.
I'll tell you what's funny. What I seen when Mezador got the sack on Virginia Tech's quarterback and he fumbled the ball. It's the same shit that happened when we got the sack on Jennings in SMU, and they said it was a forward pass. It was the same thing, same exact thing. But the crazy part is, the ball went when we did it for drones, the ball kind of went forward. And that's only because once we kind of knocked it out, his arm kind of pushed it, but that doesn't count. The ball was already loose. This one, his arm wasn't even going forward.
Bro. Yeah, this fight you got to fight. But yeah, that'd be mine. I definitely would love to see SMU again. That would be my dream. If that scenario comes about, we'll see if it plays out that way. But we're 7-point favorites on that one. They say they got the ability to move the ball, but I just think we're gonna present a lot of the same issues that Notre Dame gave them. So I think it'll be another rough game for them, to be honest with you. I think this defense is gonna be able to get a lot of pressure on them, and unless they're able to, you know, learn a hell of a lot from that Notre Dame game, which they just lost. You know, maybe they'll make some adjustments to try to tweak their approach against us, because, you know, it's copycat league. Everybody always say, okay, that works, so that's what we're going to try to do. Plus, I mean, we're similar in that respect of, like, you know, the pass rush is generated primarily from the, from my D-line anyways, and, our secondary is solid. You know, it is honestly pretty damn elite when we're all the way healthy. You know, people forget we still down Frederick. We still down, Blay up front.
They'll both be back.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they'll play, this game. But, you know, last game, again, I think some of it was reserved for the particular situation where, look, I think we can handle this. So let's just go in here, take care of business against Vitek. And come out as healthy as possible, because we're trying to play at least two more games, if not three, four, five. You know, the whole idea. And I love the staff for how they approach that all season, to be honest with you. Really on a team perspective of, hey, we're going to put the bodies out there that are ready to play, that know the plays and are healthy. And we're not going to put you in a jeopardized position, because we think we got more games to play.
Yeah,
we don't think that this is going to be cut short. So you're going to get your opportunity. So let's make sure we got you all got you ready to go all the way. Let's get on. Let's get some quick score predictions, man. We're going to get up out of here. Y'all can go enjoy your holidays. I know D-Rob, you hitting the road, C-Fam. I'm hitting the road to C-Fam. I don't know. Meezy, usually he on the turnpike somewhere. What, you going anywhere for Thanksgiving music? Oh, he can't hear me just yet. When he get back, I asked him when he get back. But anyway,
I'm here.
Yeah, you going somewhere for the holidays? Or you just chilling?
Oh, I'm hitting my sister's house in Baltimore. I've been going there like the last 3-4 years.
About
She having people over and shit, so I'm gonna be out there Wednesday to Friday, man, eating good, watching games, congregating, stuff like that.
You cooking or you just
yeah, I'm making a ham, so I make a ham like every year, like
okay.
I make a good ass ham, so I'm gonna make that, take it over there, my girl bringing.
Boy, he shit out that ham. Man,
hey, I do my thing with a ham. I ain't gonna hold you. My girl bringing over some sweet potatoes, over there and everything. So
okay,
everybody know Meezy bringing a ham for Thanksgiving.
You just show up without it one year, boy. It'd be like, what the hell?
And I wouldn't even do it to myself.
Just as a prank.
Yeah, man, I'd be making like ham sandwiches days after watching the games. All day.
You gotta throw that bad boy back in that pan, heat it back up, get that little char on it.
Man, hell yeah.
Come on.
You know what? That's that Southern shit.
Yes, sir. All right, well, let's get some score predictions, man. Like I said, we 7-point favorites on that one. I think this game will be more competitive than this last week, you know, but the good thing is we did get to get on the road, get a little taste of that. You know, we was in Florida for the first part of the year, first two-thirds of the season. So we do have a little bit of that, you know, road experience coming right off of it. These guys will be locked in. You got, you know, another opportunity to go out here on the road to take care of business again, cold weather again. But it'll be 12, so the sun will be at its peak. It'll play somewhat of a factor. I think it'll be a more competitive game, but I actually think we cover the 7. We just barely missed the spread last time. I believe we do better than the 7. I think I'm gonna take Miami. I'm gonna take Miami to take this one. Give me Miami 38. Pit 24. Yeah, Miami 38, Pit 24.
You said 38-24. I got 31-20.
Okay.
And I got 34-20.
34-20, bet.
Close game, but we scored touchdowns in the fourth and pull away.
Larion, you took my prediction, bro. I said 38-24 myself. Yeah. I think we're gonna do our thing, man. I just think they're gonna do their thing. It seems different. The team seems a little different. Granted, like I didn't expect an undefeated season. I thought maybe two losses, but I thought it was gonna be like a Notre Dame and Florida split, and then maybe one other game. I mean, yeah, we got two losses, it is what it is, but if you can close it and get 10 wins back-to-back years, you got momentum. Then you got a bowl game. You got an ACC champ, maybe an ACC championship. You got a shot at the college football playoff, but if you don't make those, the projections are already out. They're showing the Gator Bowl against, like, Tennessee or Vanderbilt. So if one of those has happened, like, I ain't got no problem with it. It's right there in Jacksonville. Depending on where I'm at in the world, if I'm in the A for Christmas or whatever, that and that game is there, man. I might make that trip, man. It all depends.
I'm just gonna put it out there, man. I think we'll be at large capable if we don't make AC championship. And obviously we gotta win, right? So we're 10-2, but if the wrong teams win, if Virginia and SMU win. If Virginia and SMU win and we can't leap them, I think the right team's going to lose. This has been happening like that for the last 4 weeks. Like, I've been playing the we need this team to lose game, and it's been working out. I just think it's just going to work itself out somehow that we can get in that 10th spot.
Yeah.
And might even have been to play Notre Dame again. I think that's the move.
Oh, don't get me excited, brother. Don't tell me nothing like
I'm
that.
I'm sorry. I think that's the long game. Get us to play. Get us to play Notre Dame again.
Man, listen.
Why not?
You know, I've been
take off that.
I've been laying off the social more. You know, I still run 26 Mall. Do a lot of the tweeting off of there too. Now help me out with it, but. Man, every time we log in, bro, all these Notre Dame, I done muted so many of them. I'm like, bro, I'm sick of these people. I am sick of these people. Please make it some kind of way where we can play them again this year. Oh, I want to hear about how they playing so much better. and get their ass kicked once again.
Stop, their schedule's so bad. They played the worst ACC team, the worst SEC team. I think the worst Big 12 team, too. Like, their schedule just has just been not good outside of the two losses. And I never in my life ever heard, well, bad losses are better than good wins, especially when one of the bad losses is the team you were holding you up against.
That's it, crazy.
First time in my life where,
and we all got to hear about it was game one, like it was game six for us. It was game one for everybody. Like, what are we doing? But yeah, they just been talking crazy. I'm just like, oh my god, I can't wait to shut these people up. They've been talking so much. I went to looking at the tickets for next year already. Yeah, I'm telling y'all, y'all ain't looking. Them shits is astronomical, Jack. They are out of this, bro. $500.
Woo.
$500. Look them up. I ain't lying to you. That's the cheap. They want a grill. And, you know, it'd be around like, hey, it'd be around my birthday again. No, I think it's a little bit later in the month, I think. It depends. But, you know, I might have to be like birthday present type shit like we did this year because we paid a grip for those. But, I was like, man, we are the show. We are the big ticket, baby. I don't care what nobody say. Yeah, they tickets cost more now for sure, but I guarantee you they ain't got one gonna cost that much for the rest of the year.
And then it's South Bend, so you're gonna have to get a hotel somewhere far and drive and do all the other logistics too.
It's not I looked at the Airbnb, they got one, they got some right there, cuz I'm doing all the research.
That's a damn $15,000 truck right there.
Easy, easy. That's just to get in the game, yeah. Ain't gonna have nothing to do. It's gonna be in South Bend, Indiana, praying to help him get back home. And really realize why everybody go to every single football game. But anyways, we up out of here, man. Y'all enjoy your holidays. You know, don't go ruining it about talking about the white man, this, that, and the other. Get with your family, man. It's family. Nobody hear that bullshit, man. Just,
hey, what the
we fuck? Kicking it. You know what it is. We kicking it over meals.
Don't let that Israelite cousin eat any.
Yeah, oh, my God. I'm not coming to shit in the Hey man, get you a plate of yams and turkey and shut the fuck up.
Hey, for real, watch this. Sit down and watch this goddamn game.
Well, and rest of us. Oh, you gonna watch public the new wave slavery? Oh my god, man, get them out, put them out the house. Boy went to prison, and now all of a sudden we got to listen to all this. Anyway, man, hey, we appreciate y'all putting up. Like I said, enjoy your holidays. We'll be back next week to discuss that victory, man. That's it, man. Peace.
Peace. Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.